One. Okay, Romans 1. Verse 7. Romans 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Okay, there's a very good idea there. To be established. There are so few Christians that are established in their faith. So his goal for the believer is, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. A mutual faith, an agreement in faith. Now, if you go to the end of the same letter, Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Okay, so he's, I want to give you four basic beliefs this morning that will establish a mutual faith within a church family and friends. There's four. Okay, and so chapter 16, verse 25. Now, to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and of the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand these four basic beliefs that one needs in his or her heart. And these four basic beliefs will help lead us to the perfect will of God in faith and what we believe, and in actions also. And I pray you'd help us to recognize these basic thoughts and ideas. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you have some people will call themselves fundamental Baptists or fundamentals. They believe in the fundamentals. And if you read their statement of faith, one will have this, and one will have this, and one will have that. You know, they'll talk about the deity of Christ. And they may fuss about this or that or this. But I'm going to get it down to four very simple basic beliefs that a person believes in their heart. And then from that, you'll branch out into other areas. And if this four basic beliefs will develop a mutual faith between people, that all those other branched out areas really doesn't matter. Okay, whether you hit it 9 out of 10 times, fine, that's no problem. 8 out of 10, that's no problem. The basic idea is, if these four areas of beliefs are within one's heart, then that gives God the liberty to move us or to get us to believe what he wants us to believe. And it's kind of a continuation of last week. These fundamental attitudes within one's heart will allow us to be guided by the Lord God. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed in Luke 17 that the kingdom of God is within you. So it's beliefs within one's heart. And that's the, quote, frustration of the New Testament, is that you really cannot tell who is, quote, saved or not. And you really can't tell who's spiritual or not because we cannot read the heart. God is the one that reads the heart. Now, a person can establish or legislate actions. You can change people's actions either by fear or by rules, but you cannot legislate attitudes. You just can't do it. Okay, you can force someone to sit down, but in their mind, they're still standing up because you do it by fear. Okay, and so religion is something that accents upon the outward that goes by actions to so-called prove your inward faith, but people can fake that. So beliefs within your heart, when the belief is in your heart and you believe it, then it's something first you can explain it and you can defend it. And you can defend it with confidence. I mentioned last week that the difference in a lot of people's lives, if they may believe in, they may understand or believe an idea in their head, but when this idea is believed within their heart, now it becomes an ideal. When somebody has an ideal, then that will drive them to action to do something for the ideal. Now, the establishment of one's faith is the goal of the God of the Bible. He wants us to be established in our faith so that someone who is established and confident in their faith, you can sit down and listen to anybody preach, anybody speak, and if you don't, I don't agree with that. And it'll just roll off like water off a duck's back. It's kind of funny. Several years ago when I first started pastoring here, at that time I had come across a fellow named Ron Wyatt. Many of you remember about him. And I knew that Ron Wyatt, I didn't agree with his trying to figure out Arminian versus Calvinism. I knew he was Seventh-day Adventist and some of his beliefs. I knew all that stuff. But I had him come to give his experiences about archaeology, about his travels in Israel. So I'd been at Rensselaer almost 10 years at that time. And so those folks have pretty much developed their established faith. And I've only been here, 6 months or so. And down there, when Ron Wyatt gave his spiel, he would throw out some of his beliefs. Now, the attitude of the people down there said, well, he was wrong here and here, but that's okay. We'll take the other stuff. Now, the attitude up here, because we were kind of making this transition, was one person said to me, did you hear what he said? Do you believe that? I said, yeah, I heard him, but I don't believe it. Why'd you have him preach here? I said, archaeology. That's why I had him here. Archaeology. And he goes, oh, I said, you're getting it. You're getting it. Okay, and we ought to be able to sit down and listen to anybody, read anything, and be able to discern, okay, yeah, that's in disagreement with the Bible. With that, oh, I can accept that. And what we're doing is we're trying to get established in our faith. Now, there's several paths we can run. If you would, look in Colossians 2, verse 6. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. Established in the faith. There's the word established without the E, but established in the faith. Okay, in Colossians, go 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Verse 13, same chapter. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all his saints. Next letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The Lord is the one that does this work in our lives. And so what we need to do is we remove the hindrances of preconceived ideas or false faiths or bad faiths, bad ideas, bad beliefs, and allow the Lord to do the working in us. So there's four basic beliefs, and these beliefs need to be a belief not in our head, but in our heart. Now Satan will subtly counterfeit some of these beliefs, or he will step in and try to deter us from these four areas. And the one basic belief that will guard the soldier from being sidetracked from these other four will be the fifth thought as we run through today. So these four basic beliefs, what they do is they'll clear the path for the believer toward the will of God. It's like if you got a garden hose all stretched out, and at this time of year, probably some ice in there, you could turn the hose on and plug it, put it in a faucet or a spigot, turn it on, and no water's coming through it. Because one, you got ice in there, or you may have a kink in the hose. And the reason why the Lord God often don't work in people's lives is because there's a kink in the hose. That kink may be their pride. It may be apostasy, it may be something, but the hose is not allowing the water to flow through it freely because there's some hindrance. These four basic beliefs will clear out the line so the Lord God can work through anybody's life and it'll be effective in their life. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1, it says this statement. It says, "The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." It's you and I's job to prepare our heart. And when our heart is prepared, and we have these four simple basic beliefs, then the Lord God Himself can work through our lives and work effectively in our lives. Okay, so the first one is a continuation of last week, where the first one is obviously a belief in God the Father. Or a belief in God. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. This is God speaking, Isaiah 43, verse 10. He is speaking, Isaiah 40, 41, 42, 43, up to 48. This is God speaking directly. So this is where you go in the Bible to see the nature of God. So this is a very simple belief in God, and I would assume most everybody here would take that step, that first belief, Isaiah 43, verse 10. He says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen." The ye, that's Israel. "That ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Okay, so there's the belief right there. The first one, the first idea is a belief in God the Father, or shall we say, in God Himself. Now, a lot of people foolishly think that that is enough to warrant them to go to heaven. But James 2:19 says, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and yet tremble." So that's not valid enough for eternal life. What that does is that reveals to an individual who is the author of life. You have two basic choices, creation or evolution. If you even start with the evolutionary route, you use science, you disprove science. Two basic ways to disprove that. It's very simple to do. That leaves you with the belief in God. Okay, that's a good starter. The next step, Jesus Christ said this in John 14, verse 1. "Ye believe," he said, "let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God." And then he said, "believe also in me." So there's the second one. Very simple. The second belief is in Jesus Christ the Savior. So the first one is belief in God the Father. The second belief is in a belief in God the Son. But it's a belief in the Son for salvation. And the belief obviously has to be within the heart. If you would look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Now again, this one is a repeat from last week. Went through this a little bit last week. This belief is within the heart. Okay, remember the Ethiopian eunuch when he was witnessed to by Philip? And then the Ethiopian eunuch mentioned the idea of being baptized. And then Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And then he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God." Now, last Friday down up at Camp Summit, you know, we had probably 15 boys or so, and one had a Bible, or an semblance of a Bible. And so I just kind of off the cuff went through the Ethiopian eunuch, mentioned him, and I said, here in Acts 8:37 is his testimony, and the boy had his Bible there, and I said, hey, would you read that for me? And it wasn't there, which I knew. And he goes, oh, it's not here. I said, oh, rats. And there's another fellow that happens to come in with us, and he's kind of the little charismatic persuasion, and he's got a New American Standard. And so he said, I'll read it. I said, go ahead. And he read, if thou believest all thine heart, you may. That was all he had. And so I just said, and the rest of the verse says this, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, is that not an amazing statement to take out of a Bible? And you see, that's how you handle that issue. You just show them that verse, or ask them to read that verse when it's not there, then you memorize a couple of the other places that are missing and get them to think about that. But the belief is within the heart. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. He says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. But where's the belief? Head or heart? It's got to be in that heart. So that belief in the Savior is in the heart. So we got step one, step two on the basic beliefs. The third one is that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is called the Word of God seven times in the Bible. And so how did we learn about this God, God the Father? How did we learn about Jesus Christ? Well, we obviously had to go to a book. So the third step, or the third basic, very simple basic belief, is in the written Word of God, the Scripture. Now that seems pretty basic. And if you go to the average church and you go up to the pastor and ask them, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? A lot of them, probably 80-90%, will say yes. But then you ask a couple more questions and you'll watch them fall away from that belief. Okay, and I did this, you know, a couple months back, Jehovah Witness on my front porch. He had a New World Translation in his hand. And I just said, hey, would you show me a perfect Bible? He held a New World Translation up. And I smiled and I said, now, wouldn't you want to tell me about the original autographs rather than that book? And he goes, oh, yeah, I should. Yeah, you're right, you're right. What? And I'm kind of smiling. I said, so you're telling me that the originals are inspired. Is that correct? He said, yes, that's what's inspired of God. And I said, and have you ever seen those originals? Oh, well, no, we don't have those copies. So that book that you just told me was the perfect Bible, is that not a translation? Yes, that's a translation. So are you now willing to admit that that book isn't the inspired Scriptures? Well, I said, see, now I know you've never heard this before, and I said, this is my basic problem with your faith, is that everything you believe is based upon your personal opinion. And he didn't have much to say after that. But you know, you can say that to almost any pastor, 95% of them. And you just start asking them that question. That's how you ask. Could you please show me an inspired copy of the Scriptures? Now, behind the pulpit, they're going to say they believe in it. But in reality, they believe something in their head. And the reason why many of them, if not most of them, walked into a Christian college believing the Word of God in their heart, but for 3 or 4 years in that college, they lost that belief in their heart. They lost it. And now it's only a head thing, and that's even iffy. The belief in the written Word of God. If you would look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. This is what amazes me about the Bible. In that, you'll have a Mormon boy with a King James Bible. But why doesn't he believe even close to what a Bible believer believes? It's because he don't believe that book's the Word of God. He doesn't. Why is he carrying it? He's carrying it because that's what he was told to do. How is it that a lot of preachers who actually you'll find maybe in the yellow pages where they'll say King James only? That's not real impressive. Because a lot of them don't believe it. Now, if you want to find out, I can tell you the verses to ask. And not to be a smart aleck with anybody, but just to find out. And one place you ask is in Genesis 1 verse 28, where he told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And you just ask them, is that word replenish right? And a Bible believer will say, that's absolutely right. And a Bible believer that doesn't know the issue will say, yes, I believe that's right, but I really don't understand why it's right. But a Bible apostate or one that doesn't believe that book will say, well, you know, from my studies, a better rendering should be fill. You have just discovered someone that doesn't believe the book in his hands. Then you can run the Genesis chapter 9. Now, you could do it very simple like that, or you can lay a little simple trap and try to trap somebody, which is kind of fun to do too. Okay, you can do that one with Noah, about Noah being fruitful and replenished, and then jump it back to Genesis 1. What was before Adam? Something was here that he's got to refill it. So, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Why is it that a lot of people can read a King James Bible, but yet it doesn't seem to work in their life? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See, a lot of them will say, King James only, it's the best translation. And then you ask them, is a translation the work of God or the work of men? They will say the work of men. They don't believe it. And because what they've done is they've kinked the hose. They've kinked the hose. They've got it hooked up to the right spigot, but the hose is kinked. And they might squirt out a little water. They'll give you some little truths here and there, but the hose is kinked. And then the more verses they think aren't translated correctly, they're kinking the hose more times. And then the Word of God is being stolen from their hearts. And God's not working effectively in their life. Why? It's because the belief is only in the head and it's not in the heart. I know a lot of times people will say, well, you're just a Bible thumper. You just don't have the intelligence to believe, you know, all this other science. I just look and say, you're right, I don't. I'm just dumb enough to believe what God said. And that don't bother me at all. And then we'll start sitting there and talk to them, start asking them questions. They realize, if I'm so dumb, why can't they answer my questions? Does that make them dumber? Believe. Now, most profess a belief in the Bible, but many really don't believe it in their heart. You believe the words of the Bible to be the final authority for all matters of faith and practice. Now, you'll find a Christian college will have that right on their statement of faith. The Bible is a final authority for all matters of faith and practice. And then the next statement will be, and it is inspired of God, as it's found in the originals. And right there, they have let it be known that they'd have never seen a Bible a day in their life from their own definitions. It's a very sad thing. And so what this does, a belief from the heart in the written word of God, the scriptures. That's that number three. You say, well, if somebody's got NIV, they love the Lord. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people that use the New International love the Lord. And I'm sure a lot of them have some truth. A lot of them have the truth. And if they believe that book in their hand is the absolute word of God, and the Lord will work through that book, because some of that book is the word of God. It's just not pure all the way. But yet, the Lord will continue to work on their life. And then if the Lord crosses that path with them, okay, you need to go do a little something better here. And then they'll just shift over. Why? Because they believe in the written word of God. Now that belief right there will help a person learn the truth. In Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, there are two powerful prayers. Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 23, it's all one sentence. And that prayer, very basically, is to learn the Bible. There's one in Ephesians 3, verse 14 down to 19. It's all one sentence. And that one, basically, is to live the Bible. A lot of Bible believers have learned the Bible, but their life is in shambles. They're not living the Bible. It's not how much Bible you know, it's how much Bible that you live. That's vital. And what is that? That leads us to our fourth belief. Okay, and so this third belief, like he said, the Lord told the Jews in the Old Testament, he said, believe the prophets. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. I mean, I'm such a Bible believer, I believe them verse markings are important. And here you got a 2020, and I even preached a message one time on 2020 vision in the Bible, and it's a fascinating thing to read through the Bible. Chapter 20, verse 20. And the Lord shows a lot of things there. At the end of chapter 20, verse 20 of 2 Chronicles, it says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Now, I recognize that when you believe this Bible is the Word of God and you start going through it, you're going to scratch your head on some things in this book. And there are some strange things in this book. You go to Revelation, it seems like Revelation's the favorite book. Guys in jail, I don't know if it's because they're strung out on dope and they see all them monsters in there and it kind of fits into their theology or whatever. But there's some strange thing in the Bible. And Hebrews chapter 13 reveals that there are some strange doctrines in the Bible. And those doctrines we need to know about. Hebrews 13, verse 9, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Yeah, I believe the Bible and some of the strange stuff in the Bible. Yes, I believe that there were two worldwide floods. Yeah, I believe that. If they wanted to call it a gap theory, I'd say, well, I think it's a fact. From my research, from what I believe in the Word of God, and if they don't want to believe that, I don't care. Yeah, I believe a lot of political people walking around ain't real humans. Maybe they are humans. Humans word monster defined in the Bouvier's dictionary. Am I going to get on the radio and tell a lot of people that? Man, they look at you like you're really crazy. You know, yes, I believe that there are different dispensations in the Bible. Yes, I believe that the tribulation time period is a Jewish time period and people have to operate by a faith and work system. But that's not going to be my criteria of fellowship with somebody. They believe in God, they believe in Jesus Christ, they believe in the written word of God. Man, we're doing pretty good. Now those three right there will develop our beliefs to believe what the Lord wants us to believe. But what about our life? You see, the justification, our record in heaven, a born-again believer can actually say, by your record in heaven, I am as holy as Jesus Christ. My record in heaven says that. But if you say that without cracking a smile, if your wife's sitting next to you, she might have a little different opinion on that. Why? Because our life needs to get right with our record. That's where the fourth belief comes in. And this fourth belief is where you and I can get our lives. Obviously, we're never going to be perfect, sinless, flawless. But it's at least getting on that path of getting our lives in line with the Word of God. And the Bible calls this sanctification. And this is by faith. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, how do we do that? By grace through faith. So walk in Him. How do we do that? By grace through faith. A lot of people have all these little fun. This is where the fundamentals come in, or the standards or the doctrinal statements of churches where When they get onto this, if you agree with this and this, then you're a good Christian. Well, what if their list over here is different than this list? No, it's this fourth belief right here is where we're at. And we've believed in God the Father, and we believed in God the Son, and we believed in a perfect Bible. What about that fourth one? Well, we got another member of the Godhead we got to deal with. And that's a belief in the Holy Ghost, who is the one who sanctifies us. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is the one that empowers us to either change actions to come in line with the Bible, or to change beliefs to come in line with the Bible, or to stop certain sins, vices that are offensive to God, or to continue to, or to not omit things in our lives that are offensive to God. John chapter 16, verse 13, it says that the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. And then in the famous Lord's Prayer, the real Lord's Prayer of the Bible, John chapter 17, not the one in Matthew 6, the one in John 17 where Jesus Christ is praying that you and I are one in our thoughts and our attitudes with God Almighty, where he says, "Thy word is truth, sanctify them." I'm sorry, it starts off, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, who's doing the sanctifying? Me and my great discipline? You see, my standard sheet of me trying to do the right thing? No, it's the Spirit of God that does it through us. How's it done? It's done by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. This is a difficult thing where he says, from faith to faith. What is that? From faith to faith. Romans 1:16 is, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, I don't know if we can pin that down exactly. What is faith to faith? Is that Old Testament to New Testament? It could be. Or is it faith, salvation by faith, to sanctification by faith? Where it's the Spirit of God that works in us. Now, let's see if we can get anything else on that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, this seems overly simple, but it's something that I would dare say will help an individual to overcome whatever vice the Lord is putting his finger on in your life. Or might help encourage you to do something that that we're not doing. You see, a lot of times people spend their time on the sins of commission, but overlook the sins of omission. "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." It's a sin of omission that will land a man in hell. It's omitting belief in Jesus Christ. Drinking won't take a man to hell. Drugs won't take a man to hell. Pride, boy, you might get something there. It's the pride that they don't receive Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Now, how does this work? For the born-again believer, the place in the New Testament that helps you and I to overcome sin, where hopefully our life would begin to match our record, righteousness, is Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. And it wouldn't be a bad place to memorize. But Romans chapter 6, and this is done by faith, Romans chapter 6, where he says this, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, okay, likewise is for us. Reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Or I reckon. You see, if somebody is dead laying in a casket, you could put a cigarette right by their casket and he's not going to be tempted to smoke it. You could put a marijuana right there. You could put Ritalin and Prozac, which is worse than the other two, and put it right there and he's not going to be tempted to take it. You could put a Playboy magazine, he's not going to be tempted to take it or look at it. Those are sins of commission. You can see that he's not puffed up with pride. He's dead. And so is the believer to sin. But why is it that so many believers sin? It's because they don't reckon themselves dead. Or I reckon. You said, sounds kind of redneck and hillbilly. Yeah, it might work too. And how about that? When you're tempted, okay, when you're tempted to do something, you know, I've been doing this a little bit lately. Sometimes I'll be driving along and I said, man, my health thing that I like to eat is tater chips sometime. And so I just like to get some tater chips sometime or payday sometime. And so, but not with chocolate on it. But and I've been trying this here lately, driving along, and I said, man, I got an inkling for some chips. And then I just said, I'm dead to that. And you know what? I lose that urge. I drive on home. You see, I reckon I'm dead to that. I am reckon I'm dead to it. I take it by faith. And it's not me. It's the Spirit. I've unkinked the hose. You see, and then the Spirit can flow through. Okay, if a guy's sitting there on a computer, and of course, hey, you're not going to stop the world from trying to cram their stuff down your throat. But you could say, I reckon I'm dead to that. I just reckon I'm dead to it. And I tell you, the Spirit of God has the liberty to work through our life. But you see, this has to be believed in your heart. Romans chapter 6, it says in verse 14, for sin shall have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. But keep reading down in verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. You see, somebody rips into you with cutting words. Okay, words have spirits that come behind them to try to enforce them or influence them. Just say, I reckon I'm dead to those words, Lord. I reckon I'm dead to it. And then allow the Spirit to work into us. Our emotions. Allow the Spirit to work into us, and the Spirit of God can help work into us. Now, those four basic, very simple basic beliefs, that unkinks the hose, and that allows God to work in our lives. But then there's one that's going to try to stop that. Sidetrack us, distract us. And that's in 1 John chapter 4, where he says this, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit. And then he says, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And that's any of us and all of us. Spirits can give us thoughts, can give us words. And so we are not to believe these spirits, these thoughts, these words. We recognize first and foremost that the devil will try to deceive people. What he does, he takes the word of God out of their heart. A lot of preachers try to intellectually preach the gospel of Christ or intellectually preach the Bible, and they don't realize that they're wasting their time when they do that. Because when you give somebody the truths of the Bible from an intellectual fashion, they don't get it. They walk away and a bird flies right in and takes everything right out of their heart. And this is why a true Bible believer uses great plainness of speech, because we have such hope. And so when that is put in their heart and declared very plainly, people understand it. Now it's in their ball game. Now the devil, the second step, he comes along and he accuses us. He accuses God to us. He accuses us to God. He's trying to divide that thing. And so we are not to believe every spirit. We go back to my belief in God, my belief in Jesus Christ, my belief in the written word of God, and my belief in the Spirit of God that He is the one that works through me. We unkink that hose and we allow all that water to flow through, the water of the Word of God flow through us. And then as the Lord puts His finger on a little issue in our life or an issue in our life that's offensive to Him, then we can say, okay, I guess I'm dead to that, Lord. I'm dead to that. And the Lord God can take away that urge and empower the person to overcome that urge, that temptation that the world is throwing at us. Because I tell you, the world is not going to back off. They're not backing off. And in fact, the pressure is coming harder. It's coming harder. But God has given us everything we need. The sad thing, a lot of Christians walk into a dark room and complain about the lights being off. Hit the switch. Turn the switch. Hit the switch. It's not hard to hit the switch and let all the electric flow through there. And it's not hard to believe the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God work. These four basic thoughts will unkink that hose. Now all these other areas of belief, the Spirit of God says, hey, you need to believe this. Hey, you need to believe this. Hey, look at this. Isn't that cool? Isn't this neat? Hey, look at this. Look at that. Look at that. Yeah, but those folks aren't going to accept it. Who cares about that? Don't worry about that. I want you to believe some of these things. Man, there's nothing better than that. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us. These four basic areas in each of our lives will allow the Spirit of God to move us, to guide us to where you want us to be. And Lord, I do pray just four simple beliefs, and all the others, Lord, will just fall in line. We get these four, belief in our heart. Everything else takes care of itself. And then we can be established in the faith, a mutual faith. And help us to recognize that there's going to be spirits that are going to try to distract us, sidetrack us, get us away from these four basic, very simple beliefs within our heart that the Spirit of God can work through us. Help us to recognize that. Cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against God. And then allow the Spirit of God to work through us. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar is open if you need it. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ from your heart, you haven't even got to step two. Or faith two, or belief number two. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So belief in Jesus Christ, belief in the written word of God, and belief in the Spirit of God who works in each of our lives. He works differently in each of our lives. We're at different levels, but we don't see the levels because we're focused on Jesus Christ and the written word of God. And allow the Holy Ghost, the interpreter of the Bible, the teacher of the Bible, the guide of the believer, to cleanse us and to sanctify us and help us to be where He wants us to be. Lord, I do pray that You help us recognize that as soldiers of Christ, we are going to be bombarded by the spirits of this world, but yet these four basic thoughts with the Spirit of God, He is the sanctifier and He is the one that cleanses us and He is the one that will use the Word of God to work effectively in our lives and help us to believe these things from our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.